Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Shop our huge selection of concrete. From general purpose concrete to specialty sand and mortar mixes, we have what you need to get any job done right. View our entire selection online or in store today and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This week on Bro Apostles, I get to nerd out about Mariology. I give my hot take on whether spiritual direction is good or bad. And Ethan talks about transcendental experiences using hallucinogenics. All this and more on this week's episode of Bro Apostles.
Welcome to Bro Apostles, episode 5. The comedy advice show for Catholics who take their faith seriously, but not themselves. I'm about to fall over. I can't do this anymore.
I blacked out. Have we done four already?
It's been a month. It's been a month since we did it. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick.
This is a great show and welcome to it now. And I'm glad that you're here. And to that guy that said our podcast is boring, I'm doing this one for you, baby.
I made sure to take 10 sleeping pills and drink an entire bottle of Jack Daniels so that I could be energized for this podcast.
I'm proud of you. I've never combined drugs with alcohol, and so I wouldn't know what that's like because I'm a Christian.
I always make sure whenever I have a bunch of acetaminophen, I always make sure to chase it with a little bit of alcohol to make sure my liver keeps up. You know, you gotta make sure your liver is in tip-top shape. That's the...
Acetaminophen. Why don't you just try eating seeds for your medicine?
There you go. That's
what is there anymore?
Homeopathy.
To do?
That's this is a pro homeopathy podcast.
I'm married. Please don't bring it up. No thanks.
How you doing? It's good. It's good to see you again.
I've been thinking about, you know, sometimes you see the Dodge Chargers with the Joker wrap on them. You know what I'm talking about.
We have one locally it's all Black Panther. It's like purple. It's Wakanda Forever on the back.
I was thinking about that particular vehicle, right? The Dodge Charger with the Joker wrapper on it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was driving and I was just thinking, there's no music on, no podcasts. And I'm just thinking about that car. And I'm like, that car exists because of 9/11. And let me tell you why.
Yeah, House, please continue.
Number one, The Dark Knight would not have been made in a non-9/11 world. That movie is squarely a post, you know, war on terror, Patriot Act, you know, ethical questions about surveilling your own population. All of that is because of 9/11. Also, if the troops hadn't have gone overseas, they wouldn't have gotten the checks to buy the Dodge Chargers with, to then put the wraps on, right? So we had to send them to war and then pay them for their war. The soldiers, the people who get Dodge Chargers are former Marines for the most part.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm just thinking it's just some Osama bin Laden thought, you know what I could really do to the American automotive market is I could make it so that all these Dodge Chargers have Joker wraps on them.
It's the Domino's meme, but the tiny one is 9/11 and the big one is the Dodge Charger with the Joker wrap.
I should post that and see if anybody gets it, because it's really just me driving around thinking like,
It's not the Punisher. You don't see Dodge Chargers with the Punisher or any other. I never
see. I only see it's just the Joker, man. It has
just Joker.
Nobody, those military guys, they don't care about the pun. That's a cop thing, right? Cops don't buy Dodge Chargers because they drive them at work, right?
Yeah.
Cops buy maybe motorcycles, maybe a Tahoe. You know,
who would buy a Ford Escape unless you were trying to guarantee that everyone is going to go slower than you in front of you?
I think a lot of unsuspecting middle-aged women buy cars without thinking about the effect that they have on, you know.
It's happened a couple of times recently where it was like a white Ford Escape behind me.
Yeah,
I'm obviously gonna go slow. I even see that it's just an old lady like in the car, and I'm like, the undercover cops might be getting even better. You know,
it's an inflatable balloon that like deflates, and then a guy with sunglasses sits up super quick.
Yeah,
and starts,
exactly. I saw one time a Crown Victoria that on the front was painted like a taxi, and on the back was a sheriff's car. I was like, that's insane. But however, we don't have very many taxis in the area, so it would be actually more suspicious for a taxi to pull up behind you, like a New York yellow cab in just Melbourne, Florida. You know, you good?
Dude, I think I had a bug inside my headphones. Bro, something flitted neat. About in my ear canal.
That poor bug.
We're here to give advice.
We're not here to talk about Dodge Chargers with Joker.
We're not here to talk about Dodge Chargers or the Joker, as much as those are my favorite subjects to discuss. I want to give people advice. We give comedy advice on this podcast. If you have a question, you can write in to ethan@broapostles.com. I will get it. I will put it in a Notion document. Patrick will read it out on the show. We'll give you advice. If you want to stay anonymous, you just say, I don't want to, this is private. I don't want people
Please
to know
don't
how many,
tell people
how
my
many,
email address.
I eat too many Oreos at work in the bathroom. You know, what do I do? Right. It's like a secret. That's fine. Stay anonymous, write in your question, and we'll help you out. But, Patrick, you want to do the first one?
Yes, I do.
Hear it? Yeah.
Okay. This one, sorry if this is the wrong place to post. I had a question about Mariology. Super excited to answer this question. I got to pick
the question
this week, so I started
very nice. Let's see if your question selection is as good as mine. I agonize over the order with which to put them in, so that we get the nice.
Oh, I did drop them in randomly, so I'm excited.
Okay.
No, I did a little bit of order. Okay, looking at a lot of the theology surrounding Mary, it seems like more of it is from a known forgery, the Proto-Evangelium of James, than the Bible. Mm. Some early church members did not originally understand it was a forgery, but later accepted that it was, and had already become a part of church theology. For reference, my grandparents were Roman Catholic. My dad was raised in it, but he is not anymore. He's Reformed. I solidly think that a lot of Reformed theology is hurtful, but I see too many issues with the Roman Catholic Church as well. I'm currently attending a non-denominational church. I was homeschooled, and we studied church history. I also studied it as an adult. Ethan, what are your opinions on the Proto-Evangelium of James?
Hold on.
Yeah, what?
The Proto-Evangelium of James, which is also known as the Infancy Gospel of James, is not a forgery in the sense of being a deliberately deceptive document claiming false authorship to mislead. Instead, it is better understood as an early apocryphal Christian text.
I can't believe AI is taking my job live.
Non-canonical but influential, reflecting the devotional and theological concerns of early Christian communities. Here's a breakdown of why it's not a forgery.
So yes, Ethan's quick Google Gemini check correct.
If you can pronounce this word, I will Venmo you $5 right now. Pseudepigraphy.
Wait, okay, hold on. Say it one more time.
No.
Pseudographical?
Pseudepigraphy.
Pseudepigraphy.
Ancient pseudepigraphy was common and not always deceptive.
Yeah, pseudepigraphy.
You can't even say it. What's
I
you doing?
I couldn't say it. Yeah, so we have an early
so much for that master's in theology, bro.
Yeah, right. Just flush that down the toilet.
Eat rocks.
the Proto-Evangelium of James is a whatever Ethan said. There's an early church father called Pseudo-Dionysius. We talked about this last week.
We did. We talked about that because I said Provo-Evangelium, and Provo-Evangelium about Utah.
So we talked about it last week. So maybe it's a continuation of that. But
sure.
So known forgery is putting it a little forceful. It was written under the name of James to give it more credence, but you know that didn't necessarily mean it was from James. The reason why it was rejected from the canon was because they made the decision, I think it was the right decision, under the Holy Spirit, that only books written by the actual authors should be in the Bible. Great call, in my opinion.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Now, that said, the Proto-Evangelium goes back as early as 100 AD. A lot of people date it at 150, but that was like a recent redate. It was dated at 100 AD. So
they really snuck
within,
that in there. It's like when you're negotiating on a house and it's like, $500 off. It's like, that doesn't matter, you know, like when you pay your mortgage, and these secular scholars are like 150. Like they're just trying to get, something.
That is super what it was. 50 years does matter when you're about to make the argument I'm going to make, but we're well within the range of people knew Mary,
mm-hmm.
right? Like people knew who Mary was, and they knew aspects about her life. And so for a text to gather that kind of devotion, it has to have some kind of historical force to it, right? Like the miraculous stories, you have to take them with a grain of salt, because miraculous stories, you know, you do have to take them with a grain of salt. But like the Mary not having any children after Jesus, Mary, you know, being these little details, like, oh, Mary was in the temple during the Annunciation. Like those little details are like, those are, you can kind of brush away. But the major ones, like Mary did not experience pain during childbirth, Mary had no other children besides Jesus. Even the one about Joseph being older, I know a lot of younger Catholics don't like the Jason Everett talk, really kind of snapped that one in two. Just like, yeah, he was a young guy, he was strong. Joseph was probably older. Joseph being a widower with kids, like those are things that are like broader facts of history that if they had put them in there, and people who knew the family of Jesus, they would have read that and be like, that's BS. Like that's, we know Mary had other, you know, they would have, yeah, they would have said something like that. So the Proto-Evangelium of James also is really only used as evidence for the perpetual virginity of Mary. And that's about it. There's really nothing in there that even hints that she was conceived without original sin. There's a story that she was conceived miraculously when oh my gosh, what's her dad's name? Anna and
Joachim,
when they were older. But that's about it. It's a biographical piece about Mary. The only miracles in there are the light passing through glass birth, and then the midwife tries to go examine Mary to make sure she is still a virgin, and her hand withers away.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
And then she touches her hand to the child Jesus' head, and it's restored.
Whoa.
Kind of cool, right?
That's cool. That happened to me when I reached for a white monster at the gas station.
My hand withered. And then,
my hand withered.
Did you see my AI image of the Pope with a white monster and a tin of Zen?
I did see that. I thought it was great. I thought it was nice.
To summarize what I was saying, to say it's a forgery is a little too forceful. And then also to say that most of the theology and the doctrines about Mary come from the Proto-Evangelium of James is also a little
too... That's what I was going to say. Like, even if you just evaluated the Catholic stance on Mary just through what was available to you in the scriptures, I feel like that's significant enough to accept the Catholic position, you know, like,
yes,
it's you don't need the evidence from the, you don't need anything that's extra scriptural to prove that Catholicism is true.
No, you don't need anything outside of scripture to prove the church is true. And then after that, the church can declare whatever it wants.
But I think it's a good question. I appreciate you listening, even though you go to a non-denominational church. If you have any more questions, Patrick, is there some type of document
that
people could download?
If you want to go more into detail about the different Catholic doctrines about Mary and different questions that people have and how to respond to them, we recently launched an ebook called Defending Mary: 100 Protestant Arguments Against Mary, 100 Answers, and then a bunch of references to the Bible and the Catechism, the Church Fathers, to refute those. And you can go to, it's kind of a long URL, actually. Probably should have made it better.
Yeah, I need to, well, you got to let me into Squarespace because I can't do any forwarding. So,
okay.
Right now it's i.convinceyourfriends.com/Mary. But in the future.
So if you got to put the i dot, it's a subdomain. So you got to put i dot and then convince your friends.
In the future, it'll just be broapostles.com/Mary and it'll be very simple. But I can't log into Squarespace for some reason because it hates me. And I need to dedicate some. It's, in case you don't know what it's like being business partners with Patrick, sometimes you need a login and it's like, no, you don't. You know,
yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Patrick's a busy guy. He's always in meetings, and so if you catch him when he's in a meeting, it's like, pff, it's like wind. It's gone.
Yeah,
it's, you gotta, it's try gone. Again. Try again later.
So, okay, next question. I'm excited for this one because I get to be a little. I get to say a little hot take. So, should I get a spiritual director, or try to find a mentor, or both, or how? I know I need to ask a priest or email the office for spiritual direction. I've grown immensely from passive mentors like podcast, books, and YouTube, and I've been to therapy, but right now I feel like I could benefit from one or two people in my life that I can get wisdom from. I'm 27-year-old and I'm female. My parents are great, but they're my parents. My grandparents have passed. I know YCP has a mentorship program, but I don't know if it's any good, and it would probably be best to find someone local that I could meet. I've been using ChatGPT a lot lately, and it has helped, although it would be beneficial to talk to a real human. Yeah, I'm very excited for ChatGPT to obliterate the therapy industry. I think that's going to be interesting. Only real therapists will remain, and they'll get paid high.
Yeah, a lot of Gen Z are using ChatGPT for therapy. They're not
very good.
They're so afraid.
What are your opinions? Should she get a spiritual director or find a mentor or both?
I mean, what are your goals? What do you want? Like, why do you need mentorship? You know, it seems like you have this default understanding that, oh, I have to have some type of mentor or therapist or spiritual director, fill in the blank, at all times. Maybe you do, you know, you kind of get this whole like, Peter had Paul and Paul had Timothy and Timothy had Barnabas, you know, like you kind of hear that a lot when you're in, what, why are you laughing? Yeah.
When you're in the MLM of focus,
you hear about like, oh, you have to always be, you have to have someone leading you, which is fine. But eventually you're going to have a family and you have to be the one to lead the other people, you know?
Yes.
And maybe you get blessed with an older couple or older family that can kind of show you the ropes or you can ask questions but most of the time you're just figuring it out on your own. So,
or you start a podcast and you kind of just bounce off for each other for a couple of years and then you get,
It's a much less effective way. I think mentorship is great, but I don't think it's something you can, all the times that I've asked for professional mentorship, it's ended up letting me down, you know?
Yes.
Because odds are you need it more than they need it. And so you really need to find someone who is like, I want to invest in you and here's how it's going to look. It has to be a natural pouring out of the relationship.
Yeah.
So
I am also pretty against therapy? Spiritual direction in general.
Whoa!
Yeah. That's my hot take. I'm anti spiritual direction. There are.
Stay it short so that we can make it a clip.
Okay. I'm anti spiritual direction. There are very few people in this world that actually need spiritual direction, but there are many people who think they do.
Dude, you just made so many women on X angry.
If you're a woman, you'll find one. Just so you know. All my homies out there,
the young priests are just full up. They're full up with spiritual directees. I didn't know that how could this happen? And all the college-aged women seem to be able to find whatever spiritual director they want.
This has been a problem that I've noticed. It's not just the young ones. I don't blame them. It's easier to mentor women. They're much nicer to look at and listen to.
And their problems are, well, not all the time, but a lot of the times their problems are.
Not all the time.
She texted me and then I texted her and now I don't know what to say. Sometimes
they also say more. No, they say more things. This was the great thing about working with youth ministry. In youth ministry was that I got to see the difference between men and women right there in my own one time, God bless her, I had a girl in my youth group. She emailed me, I copied and pasted into Microsoft Word, 3 pages single spaced, talking about how she had this obsession with this story that she was writing and she felt like it was distracting her from God, and then she thought that she needed to give it up for Lent, but she was having trouble. It was a long soliloquy. And I was like, I don't spend this much time thinking about this. I felt so bad. I was like, I just emailed back like, hey, you're doing fine. None of this should take up any of your time. It's cool that you have like this story idea and you want to spend time thinking about it. I'm thinking about it during church. I bet. You're really into this. That's great.
You know what I think about during church?
How my kid is screaming and I desperately want her to stop.
I'm thinking about a lot of things during church.
Yeah. I'm thinking about whether I'm going to make sales tomorrow. That's what I'm thinking about.
I'm thinking about, can the homily be this bad again?
And this
it can.
our homilies do hit at Ascension.
You got a good priest.
You got good homilies. But I'll say this, like spiritual direction, a lot of the times is unnecessary, because what you really need, unless you're praying every day and you're having like deep spiritual experiences, it's like Phoebe went to spiritual direction. I think it was the right time. That's over now because the priest is leaving. but it was at a good time where she was like engaged in deep, consistent prayer, and she was really struggling with how to do it well and how to manage having these deep spiritual experiences and with our kids. So it was a good time, right? But it was for a time, right? And so you have in this mind this idea of like, oh, I want to go to spiritual direction where I meet with this priest every month and we talk about our prayer and he holds me accountable. And it's like what you're looking for is accountability, which that's, you don't need spiritual direction for accountability. You're looking for guidance, which again, you might just need your friends for that. You might not need like a priest to do that for you. And the other thing is that you're looking for a commitment, and those kinds of things are hard to gauge. And so a friend of ours, Father Paul, has kind of told me the cheat code. If you want a spiritual director, you don't ask them to be your spiritual director. That's like asking to marry someone. It's like, mm-hmm. It's like walking up to a stranger and asking them to be your girlfriend. Okay, what does that entail? Just ask them for a meeting, and then at the end of the meeting go, this is a great conversation. Could we meet again in like a month or so? And then just at the end of every meeting, just stack them out like that and just keep it going. Don't start a commitment. Just see how it goes and get your feelers out. That's how you
do it. The thing about the spiritual direction is it's like this expectation of kind of being on call in some way. You know, like if I'm having a crisis, then you're the person that I'm going to call, which is just kind of a lot for a priest because they already have like four or five places that when they're in a crisis, they get called. They call the priest, like if someone is dying, if someone is being born, if someone is locked out of the gymnasium, there's all kinds of crisis situations that come up when you're a priest. And yes. Having some, you know, floozy give you a phone call at 10 o'clock at night because she's sad is like it's not really what the office of the priest is for.
Yeah. My poor beloved parochial vicar for the first year of his priesthood at our parish, had a public Calendly link.
Nice.
That he would just give out, and his schedule would fill up. And I was like, Father, you cannot be doing that. You gotta take time. You gotta have breaks. You gotta take a walk. You know what I mean? Count how many hospitals are in your town, then count how many parishes. And if the ratio is anything in favor of the hospitals, give it up. Spiritual direction ain't gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen.
Here's what I think you should do, question asker. And I don't think you're a floozy, and I don't think you're a college age girl looking to take advantage of a relationship with a priest.
She's 20.
She's 27. Okay. I think that Jesus Christ is the spiritual director. He is the one that will lead you and lead your soul closer to God. And so I think if you read scripture and if you read the lives of the saints and if you read spiritual books on how to grow in holiness, there are books out there. Whatever thing you're struggling with, there's a book that's written by some French priest in the 1600s that tells you how to overcome the thing that you're struggling with. Guaranteed.
Yes, absolutely.
So you just have to find it. So I don't know. It's good. Like all the things that Patrick said, it's good to have accountability. It's good to have, you know, all these things, but at the end of the day, like your spiritual life is yours and you can't outsource it to somebody else. So I think about, what are you really looking for? Are you looking for a therapist? Then get a therapist. Are you looking for like professional mentorship? Okay. Pursue the YCP thing. See where it goes. There's no harm in it. Mm-hmm. Do you really need a spiritual director? Okay. If you really need to go talk to a priest, do the strategy that Patrick said. Divorce yourself from this notion that you have to have someone leading you because you have to, you know,
make decisions.
You can do a lot on your own.
You'll be fine. Yes. Yeah. And I'm not to knock spiritual direction. I'm operating out of my own wounds. It was basically impossible to get spiritual direction at Franciscan. It was like 100% impossible.
It's hard to get spiritual direction.
Even when you were like discerning the priesthood, like I'm thinking about discerning the priesthood. It was like it was not possible.
Yeah.
Unless
you and every other dude that just got broken up with on this campus, you know?
No, it wasn't like that.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It was like 6 months later.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I think it's good. I just don't know. I don't know where it fits in like the, I don't know. Cause you read the old books and it's like, well, your director should do this, you know? And it's like, well, but back then it was different. It's not the same.
Yes. And those books are being written by monks for monks.
Right. I'm thinking of like Introduction to the Devout Life, though. He's very clear that,
oh yeah,
you know, you having a director and this person should be, but I really think he just means more of like a regular confessor more than anything.
Yeah, no, that's
probably better for you anyway.
He wrote that book for someone who couldn't see him for spiritual direction anymore. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I remember right. Yeah. Read Injured to the Vow Life. It's great. And then never go dancing or play cards again. That's in there.
It just says be careful about it. It doesn't say don't do it.
All right. Next question. I'm excited for this one. This one's going to go in the opener for the show.
Should we shout out our sponsor first before we go
into
this?
Let's shout out our sponsor first before we do anything else. This is why I need Ethan to make the...
Now a word from our sponsor.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Shop our huge selection of concrete. From general purpose concrete to specialty sand and mortar mixes, we have what you need to get any job done right. View our entire selection online or in store today and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Patrick, you're fired.
What did I do, bot?
You didn't get me the pictures of Spider-Man.
Well, this is a first for me. I've never been fired, but I'll take it with stride, and I will go to Verso Jobs to find a new place of employment. I'm not a good culture fit here anyway, so.
What is Verso Jobs you're talking about? All I care about is pictures of Spider-Man. I don't go on the computer.
But that's how I email you the pictures. That's why you don't have any pictures of Spider-Man. Check your email. Verso Jobs is a new way for employers and employees to find each other, to match based on culture and skills, as opposed to just random AI-generated resumes getting read by AI robots. And it's just Indeed and ZipRecruiter are just AI machines at this point, and everyone's just a bunch of nodes floating around in space. But you're not a node. You're a dude. You're a girl. You're a person. And so you can go to versojobs.com, and you can register as a seeker, a job seeker, and you can get on their list to make sure that you are the first one to know when companies are looking for people like you.
That's versojobs.com. Get me pictures of Spider-Man. That's versojobs.com.
Question. Is there any validity in spiritual experiences induced by hallucinogenics?
Whoa.
I have an uncle who is now deeply Catholic because of an experience he claims to have had when he was young and taking drugs. What's the proper response to being told this? Great question.
Welcome to the family. Glad to have you.
So glad you could
take it. Are you any less at the family reunion because you hitchhiked, you know?
So
you're still
true.
Here. You made
hey,
it.
RFK is Catholic and he's got brain worms, so you can sure nothing.
I took psychoactive mushrooms. I saw what they were putting in the water.
I like RFK. I think he's doing great stuff. Do you see the guy from Ben and Jerry's freak out at the congressional hearing?
No.
RFK
was
doing
something. Wait, was that the guy from Ben and Jerry's?
That's the guy that was Ben from Ben and Jerry's.
That was Ben from Ben. He almost got attacked by the ice cream man.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. He's just sitting there like, I think there should not be xanthan gum in ice cream. And, you know, Ben jumps up. He's like, no, there should be xanthan gum in ice cream. And he pulls out a gun and tries to shoot.
No shot. That's what they were talking about. No, he said
I didn't watch the video. I didn't watch the video. I don't know what happened. But what we're talking about, being Catholic. Yeah. I think. Can I tell you my theory about all this?
What's that?
I talked to a really smart priest the other day. Probably one of the smartest priests in America working today. Photographic memory, PhD and, you know, all these things. Super smart, right? I'm not going to say who. I'll tell her about it on the bonus podcast. But I asked him, I said, do you think remote viewing is real? Like when the CIA would fill people up with drugs in the 60s and 70s so that they could see, so that they could, like in Stranger Things, right? When Eleven goes and sees what, you ever saw Stranger Things? In Stranger Things, the whole thing's like MK Ultra. they put drugs in her, and then so she can spy on the Soviets. That's the whole point, is that they've created these children that they can spy. So I was like, do you think that's real? And in more or less words, he was like, yes, that is real.
That's insane.
Because, and I think from what I understand of what he said, and it was very complex, he sees, because he also talks a lot about near-death experiences, right?
Sure.
And he talks a lot about these, like, consciousness, like, there's scientific studies that talk about how consciousness can survive human death, right? There's real scientific evidence, not just faith-based evidence, but, like,
yeah,
people knowing things they would have not known otherwise.
The heaven is for real, kid.
Colton Burpo. You know?
Was that his name?
That's his name, yeah.
Dang, that sucks.
I know. But people seeing things like, oh, I saw a shoe on the roof of the hospital, and then they go up there, and there's a shoe. Like, nobody been up on there. Like, there's no way anybody would have known that there was a shoe on the roof, right? He sees it. And so he knows that, you know, your consciousness can exist outside of your body. And he also believes in, like, quantum mechanics. And so I think that there's – not that he believes – I mean, everybody believes in it because it's real, but – I think he believes that consciousness as created by God is operational on, like, a quantum level. Like, it is not a, don't look at the camera like that,
but it's, don't gym the camera.
Yeah. Don't gym the camera, but there is something happening, like, below the atomic level that is what
No, keep going. I'm interested. I'm just sorry. Don't interpret my vocalizations as anything other than interest. Please continue. I'm not being sarcastic.
I know. It sounded like you were making fun of me. You sound like a crazy.
Oh, fear not. I'm about to. But continue going. Continue going on.
So anyway, so he was saying that God works through anything and everything, right? God created all of these levels to life, to existence. And there's no reason why every single part of it, from the macro all the way down to the micro, like, if consciousness really is this, like, quantum thing that you can manipulate in certain ways, right? He also talked about, like, empathetic feeling, like how, like, you can have a strong sense of someone nearby, even if you don't know that they're there, right? Like, there's these things that happen to people that are measurable and provable. And so I think all that to say, you think about Owen Cyclops, his thread on DMT. If you've never read it, go look it up. Yeah. It's phenomenal. But I think there's a real something that really happens potentially on the quantum level, that when you take that stuff, it messes with your brain and you're able to more easily access something that might otherwise take special circumstances or very strong empathetic feelings to then access a realm of the spiritual. Mm. Sometimes it goes bad, you know, and you see things that are not of God. Sometimes, in the case of your uncle, it goes good and he sees the truth, right? And then he becomes Catholic. But I don't think that this should be, like, a recommended way for people.
I think there's demons sometimes.
I think there are certainly demons sometimes. But isn't that just true of everything, you know? Like, I don't think it's that different from any other, like, someone can go to a brothel, right? And, like, see a woman, you know, giving up her body for the suitors that come by and be struck by, like, the human condition and, like, see Christ in that woman and, like, have a conversion, right? Like, but that's like 1% out of the 99% that go and are in the brothel. You know, I think it's the same kind of thing with psychedelics, you know?
Yeah. It's like Moses the Black goes into the brothel to save the prostitutes because he can see Christ in them.
Right.
But
perhaps
maybe a guy on Twitter following a bunch of OnlyFans models to evangelize them should perhaps not do such a thing. You know, that's a real thing. Not to give anyone scandal, but that was a controversy that happened a couple days ago.
I just think our vision of God should be bigger. Like, this is all part of the cosmic battle between good and evil. Satan is trying to use everything he can to take people away from God, and God is doing everything he can to bring people to himself. And so it's like, it feels weird to me to be like, religion can only exist in this, like, realm, you know, that's here. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you step outside of it, whether it's aliens or psychedelics or remote viewing or, you know, DMT machine elves, whatever the thing is, it's like, well, that can't be of God, or that can't be, like, that doesn't fit into the Christian worldview. I think that's silly, you know?
these are the approved methods of conversion. These are the approved conversion.
Yeah. Stories. You're only allowed to become Christian if you have an experience at a Steubenville conference. That's it.
that's it. Yeah. No, that's it. So yeah. So because your two questions, one is like, how do I respond? I think the proper response is like, wow, tell me more.
It's just like, thanks. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about what happened. What did you see with the machine elves?
And then validity of the spiritual experiences. Yeah. I guess there's validity to them. I guess there has to be, right? He's experienced real and substantial change, which you can't have outside of Christ. So there's that. And then I guess the sub question to this is, should people do this? Absolutely
yes.
not.
Oh.
oh. Anyway. All
Hold
right.
on. I have an idea.
What?
Ethan and Patrick sit in a room with white walls and slowly increase the dose of psychedelics that they take until one of them either sees God or dies.
Great YouTube video. It's a Mr. Beast video.
YouTube video, 60 views.
100 people, ages 1 to 100 in a white room and slowly drip psychedelics into their blood. All right.
I got the world's top intelligence officers to create MK Ultra in my backyard.
School or dating question. Hello. Question for the Voice blog. That was one of the funniest. There was a social media that I got really excited about, but ended up not going anywhere. It was called Anchor, and it was like a
I remember
the idea was quick podcast, and I was like, this is so cool. It's like an audio blog. And Ethan comments, Patrick, that's called a podcast, and we already have one.
Dude, I remember
it's quite literally a podcast. It uses the same RSS technology. All right.
Dude, the best part about having a podcast with you is that I can like track the development of like social media and like different software's popularities with like my memory of you annoying me by being on it and then getting off of it, you know? But the constant the whole time, Twitter.com
the whole time. Except for like a year and a half.
Except for, yeah, the COVID.
That was a very good year and a half. Great. Yeah. Out of all the years to take off.
It's a great time.
Who knows which way I would have gone. All right. Male 19. I plan to go to a small college automotive program for an associate's degree. I'm going to stay with my parents and commute one city over to stave off the college loan debt. Is it a rookie blunder to absolutely lock in and not focus on new friends or dating? As most of the classes are going to be major specific, I imagine I'll have to attend activities outside of class in the evening, making my days very long. So on one hand, I can lock in on my career for 2 years undistracted and miss out on dating, or I could try my luck and potentially waste time at a small college that I doubt I'll find many serious Catholic gals my age. What do you think, Ethan?
So the question is this a choice between two options?
So he wants to know if he should lock in and not focus on dating and just focus on his school, or should he, or he could try his luck and potentially waste time at college. So his question is, should he lock in or should he not lock in?
I feel like you know what I'm going to say. Lock in, bro. What do you mean? I mean, it just depends. It goes back to the other question that we were asked. It's like, what do you want? You know, do you want to lock in? Okay.
You're 19, 2 years, you're 21. That's so much time.
Yeah, I mean, we can give advice as long as the day, but it really just depends on what you want to do. I think you should decide the type of life that you want to live and then live that life. I think there's no wrong answer here. Yeah. You know, there's pros and cons to both, right? Pros to locking in. You get better at the thing faster. You're able to make more money. You're able to progress in your career, whatever. Pros to not locking in. You get to maybe have more fun, meet new people, go out with some ladies, go to some parties. But the drawback is you don't, you know, maybe your grades suffer. Maybe you have to retake some classes. But, you know all of this. It just sounds like you got to choose one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, I mean, log in is cool. I think that's fun. How
Can
much
you lock
faster?
In? Sorry, go ahead.
How much faster are you going to get through a 2 year program? Like, are you seriously going to shave off? Like I did the lock in thing my last semester of college. I decided week two of my last semester of college that I was going to graduate a semester early. it's incredible that I made that decision. I think it was stupid. I should have just stuck around. But I shifted my classes. I decided to write two major papers. We'll call them major papers instead of theses, which is what they were called. But I decided to do all of that in my last semester and graduate a semester early. It was tough. I tried to also date at the same time, and it was hard. I should have just focused on one thing. So definitely don't pick both. But it's like, you know, shaving off a semester of school out of a four-year program is possible. Is it possible to shave off a semester of school in a two-year program? I don't think so. From what I understand, you kind of have to do the whole thing.
Can I propose?
Sure.
Maybe like a timeshare where you lock in, say, from Monday to Friday. Let me back up. You could even lock in Monday through Thursday if you really wanted to, and then not lock in Friday through Sunday.
How about this, Ethan? Let's lock in Monday through Friday from the hours of 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., 5 p.m.
Yes, I like that.
And then maybe we pass like a law that if you lock in beyond that, you get time and a half pay.
Let's lock in children into the carts that go down into the mines and then not unlock it until 12 hours later.
Day is never finished.
Mads has got to be working.
All right. I like the attitude. I think you're staring down this program like, I got to lock in. Like, I got to, which you probably do because you haven't done this before. You're 19, so it's probably going to be more difficult than you think at first. But you'll probably find out that, like, okay, even if you are 100% focused on school, you're still going to have a lot of time left over. I mean,
like, how much homework is there in automotive?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, with a liberal arts degree,
you can't take the car home with you.
Like engineering or physics, like you could learn more, right? But like, if you're not in the shop, it's like, you know, how much?
I think what is homework like? You open up your backpack, it's just a serpentine belt in there.
Automotive majors, when they got an oil change due at 11:59 p.m. I like the business briefcase. Major memes. I like the business major ones.
It's like a carburetor, you know, and they're sticking out of both sides.
Dude, there's this meme that I keep seeing. It pops up in my feed like every 6 months or so. I think it's so funny. But it's those strongman competitions, and it's these huge dudes carrying these like gigantic boulders with rocks with handles on them. So they pick up these huge boulders and they walk them, and they're like really struggling. And the caption is geologists when they get fired, pack up your
tank. That's pretty funny.
I did it for my junk removal guy. It's like me when I have to take work home with me. And it was like, it was funny.
I like the videos of the strong guys. There's a video that I've been thinking about of when they were at, I think it was like the Mr. Universe competition 1999 or something like that, where they're all wearing like the ridiculously big suits. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I do know. Yeah.
Dude, I love this video so much, and I've just been thinking about it all day because I think it's so funny, and I'm trying to figure out what joke to make about you and me, about the podcast on X, because I want to increase my profile on X, the Everything app, and I've just been thinking about, like, how can I position myself as, like, a strong, cool guy? And I've been thinking about those guys who are actually strong and cool.
Great time for me to bring this up. Did you know there's a Mr. Universe winner named Pat Nevy? Did you know that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I talk about it all the time. He died recently. R.I.P. Pat Nevy. But I think about him often. And I wish I looked like that guy. I wish I was oiled up and just bulky and just obscenely jacked. And then I
could help you with one of those.
Filled up. Oily? I wish I was oily. My skin is so dry, man. Anyway. All right. I hope we answered that question, JB. I think you're good. You're 19. You're lock in for the first year, and then you're going to figure out it's not that hard, and then you can find a girlfriend or something. And then also a girl's going to pop up, and you're going to be like, "I don't want to work. I don't want to lock in anymore." That's fine.
You're going to go and there's going to be a girl like leaned over the hood, and she's going to have like oil smudge on her face. She's going to be in one of those coverall things. She's going to turn. She'll wear a backwards hat with her hair coming down, and she's going to turn and look at you and be like, "Can you hand me the oil pan?" And you're going to be like, and that's going to be your automotive. And then she's going to, and then this is the best part. She's going to ruin your life in about 6 months. So you have to be aware that that will happen.
It will happen to you.
But it will be electric.
She's going to say things like, you know, I didn't really get along with the girls in high school. I mostly just hung out with the boys. She's going to break your heart, JB.
Yeah.
Stay away.
You remind me a lot of my dad. I haven't seen him in about 10 years.
your thing the other day with on I made a joke about how when the Pope made a Twitter account, and I was going to do a throwback to when back in the Anon Twitter days, whenever someone would create a new anonymous Twitter account, everyone would go, "New baby Anon, go follow the new baby Catholic Anon," and everyone would like flock to this. It was always like a girl with a Disney princess profile picture, and then Ethan replied to that tweet. You have to say it because it came from your brain.
You can't.
Can't articulate it because it hurt me to read it. But
I was mimicking what a DM to that new account would sound like. Mm-hmm. It was something like, "Hey, the Lord is just really speaking to me through your posts. I think He's given you a lot of gifts, and I just want to say thank you for being brave." And as a man living in the faith, it can be really hard sometimes. Like, I really struggle with mortal sin, but easier.
Yeah,
it's so much easier to overcome my temptations knowing that there's girls out there like you.
I wish I hadn't made you say, I don't know why I put myself through that a second time. You made it worse the second time. You threw that in there. Oh my gosh. Another bonus piece of advice, guys, don't talk about that very publicly. I know you it gets cathartic because you want to hear people tell you you're not that bad of a guy. Don't talk about it publicly. It's gross. Just like go to confession, move on. There's bigger fish to fry. We get it. All right. Someone was tweeting about it the other day and I was like, all right. So question for the Discord or the pod. How do you overcome the afternoon sleepies at your desk job? I find that I'm usually focused in the morning, then after lunch my focus drops off until 4 p.m. the Coors Light when the workday is almost over. Your focus drops off until 4 p.m. and then you have that like 4 p.m. rush to get a bunch of things done. Do you have any tips or tricks for maintaining focus? What do you think, Ethan?
I fire off a text to my wife that says, "Bring me a coffee and or a homemade lemonade." And she does one or both of those things. And then that little pick me up gets me through the afternoon.
Yeah, the 2 p.m. coffee is sick.
2 p.m. coffee is great.
Walk. Go for a walk. That's it. Take the coffee on the walk.
What do I do in the afternoon? I have meetings all day. So it's kind of hard. Like, I just kind of enforce. I'm on camera. I have to participate. If you have a job where you have meetings, it's easier. Can you schedule some meetings? Can you schedule your meetings in the afternoon and then put your work in the morning? That's one idea. I like to listen to Dutch hardcore music, Angerfist specifically. Mm-hmm. So I pop on some of that if I need some. So there's nothing wrong with getting your jam on, you know, as you go through some tasks. I don't know. It's just hard. It's just like, it's unnatural to be sitting in an office for 8 hours. And so you have to figure out a reward system. Give yourself a cookie. I just do that any time of the day.
So I do double espresso at 2 p.m. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I go for a walk, sometimes with my buddy who's might sometimes still be, I have a co-working space and my buddy works out of there. And then I also, I switch to high protein breakfast and lunch, and that has been helpful too. So like,
you can't eat carbs.
No, just Greek yogurt. Lean
yogurt is huge. I've been on a huge yogurt kick lately. Little granola in there, little parfait situation. Okay. Oh,
yeah, man. Nothing else. That's all you need.
Some L-theanine in the morning, some beef liver. You know,
yeah. Ethan knocks back that beef liver.
Emma gives me these pills. She sets them on the sink, and they're huge. It looks like I'm doing some type of regimen. It's like the pills you got to take to regrow your hair, you know, they just make massive, disgusting pills, and they taste like beef when you swallow them, you know?
Yeah, that's gross.
And I'm like, why are you making me do this? It's like you take my grandmother's cooking and you've put it into a pill, and I have to swallow it at night
every morning
with the sink water, you know? And she's like, it's your multivitamin. I'm like, no, it tastes like beef, honey.
It tastes like beef. You got pill wife. I got skincare wife. My wife got me a skincare regimen when we first got married. I have not been doing it.
Ooh. That's why my wife is pill-pilled. Your wife is skin-pilled.
Skin-pilled. Now that I'm back on Instagram, I'm more nitpicky about my face than I have been for the last 6 months. It's been freeing being on Twitter and not having to look at my own face. But my face is red and splotchy, and it's like really dry. And I'm like, sometimes I can just ignore it. But when I'm looking at my own face editing a video, I'm like, it's so dry. And then
Nobody else is looking at that. Everyone's looking at your big glasses.
That's what it is. It's not that people are looking at the dryness, that I see the dryness and then I feel it on my face because I'm looking at what it is, you know? Anyway, that's all I got. That's all the questions that I have.
That's
if
great.
You have any more, please go to email them, ethan@broapostles.com, and then I'll read them here on the air.
Our unhinged comment of the week is that guy on X who said your podcast is boring. I said it at the beginning of the show. I'm saying it again now. I do have it printed out and taped up. I will not allow this show to become boring ever in my life.
I guarantee you he didn't listen and just said that.
I would rather redacted than have a boring podcast.
It would be genuinely the worst thing in the world to have a boring podcast.
Yes. Go to patreon.com/broapostles. This is a place where you can go if you like our show and you want us to keep doing it for a long time. We also have a bonus podcast where we do more of this, but we go more in depth about the crazy things that I believe about quantum mechanics and consciousness.
And wish casting. What was it called?
And Patrick names about the people he has beef with. So if any of that is interesting to you,
it's everybody.
Go to patreon.com/broapostles. Join the podcast. Thank you to Verso Jobs for sponsoring this episode of Broapostles. We'll see you guys next time.
Save big on everything for your next outdoor project when you shop at Menards. Greenworks 40-volt cordless tools have everything you need to keep your yard looking great. The Greenworks cordless trimmer and edger is lightweight, starts instantly, and comes with a 40-volt battery and charger. Pick one up today, on sale, now through June 1st. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards. Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Shop our huge selection of concrete, from general purpose concrete to specialty sand and mortar mixes. We have what you need to get any job done right. View our entire selection online or in store today and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.